The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Football at 4. Here's The Drive with Tyler Columbus and D-Mac.
So, Vaughn Miller today. Vaughn was mic'd up. Broncos purposes. It was on the Broncos website for sure. And we got this interesting exchange near the end of the game with Teddy Bridgewater and Vaughn.
I ain't felt that in a while since 18 was here, man. Those little pep talks go a long way, man. You know what I'm saying? We need in a minute. I love you, bro.
Love you too.
It's a little hard to understand, but he's saying, Tyler, he hasn't had a feeling like this since Peyton Manning was around.
Yeah.
So, okay. That's a complicated statement, really. He's being honest, which I, you know, think is great. And it's obviously a moment of honesty that he meant. I don't think he's playing games. He's talking to his teammate on the sideline. But it's been a while since Peyton's been here, right? I mean, there's been a lot of guys.
It's been a while, for sure. You know, Vaughn is the ultimate hype man. Let's just keep it real. I mean, he says great things about everybody. And so when I hear him talking to the media about somebody, that doesn't really do anything for me. So when he's talking about how amazing Garrett Bowles is, or when he's talking about how amazing Teddy is, I don't care. Pick a guy that he's talking about in a public forum. I don't really hear any of it because he's just the ultimate hype man. But when you get him in a private moment like that, mm-hmm. I do believe that he forgot he had his mic on. I do believe that. I believe that he was having a genuine, authentic conversation with his teammate, and he was expressing a degree of belief that he has just simply not had in years and years.
Well, I asked him about it today.
Vaughn, there was a video of you telling Teddy you hadn't felt like you felt since Peyton was here. I was curious if you could expand on that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I kind of forgot that I was mic'd up. I don't like, you know, putting, like, you know, stuff out there. That was a moment for me and Teddy. But, you know, it's out there, and, you know, I don't want anybody to, you know, feel a certain way because I told Teddy that. But I told Teddy the truth. You know, I told Teddy the truth. He definitely has this vibe about him that guys, you know, want to play for. You know, guys believe in Teddy. You know, he's been a veteran in this league. He sat behind Drew Brees. He was on track to win MVP with the Minnesota Vikings. So he knows how to do it, and he carries himself in a way that, you know, people want to play for him. People believe in him. You know, I think it was a fourth down, in the game where he kind of like stuttered and stiff on the guy and threw it to Albert O. You know, that's just heart, and that's just, nobody can draw that up. There's no coach on our on our coaching staff or in the NFL that can teach you how to do that. Teddy had it. Teddy had the fight to go out there and win for the football team. And, you know, some of the things that he says, some of the things that he tells everybody before, you know, games and stuff. Me personally, I just believe it. And I'm a hard guy to just believe everything that everybody say. But, you know, you can definitely feel it with Teddy. And, you know, I told Teddy that was, you know, towards the end of the game, and I had saw him, and, you know, I just told him I'm a firm believer in, and giving people their flowers, you know, while they're still here. And, you know, Teddy, he definitely deserves the love.
Flowers.
Sure.
The legend of Teddy Bridgewater.
All right. I love it. I love when he doubled down, too.
What do you think?
Like, you know, I don't want anybody to feel a certain type of way about this, but, you know, I told the truth. That's the way I feel. I haven't felt that way. This is how I feel now.
Was that hype, or do you think he is?
No, I think that's authentic, for sure. You know, people hear 18, and they hear Vaughn Miller saying he's going to play like 18. That's not what Vaughn's saying. He's just saying he hasn't felt stability like Teddy's bringing in a long, long time. Yeah. And at least that's the way that I interpret it. He's just saying the stability that Teddy's bringing to this team, it's got a degree of confidence that it's going to provide the defensive players. Like, hey, if we do our job, we're going to have an opportunity to win a game because we've got a quarterback over there that's going to be stable.
The legend of Teddy Bridgewater keeps growing, man. Pretty cool. I thought it was a pretty honest moment, too. And Vaughn is probably guilty of overhyping.
Oh, ultimate hype, dude. Are you kidding me?
Things over the years.
Ultimate hype, man.
But I don't think so on this one. So, you know, obviously, I think Vaughn was really sincerely trying to be sensitive because he clearly knows Drew Locke's still on the team, that sort of thing. And I don't think he was trying to be mean to Drew whatsoever. I think it was just an honest moment. Oh, boy, it's, you know, the thoughts about Drew Lock starting are, man, are those going way out the window quick. You know, once you see what the results on the field, you hear what other guys have to say, you see what coaches have to say, it's like, wow, this doesn't even feel
competition. Teddy just simply could not have had a better start to his career as a Bronco. Like, it would have been literally impossible to have had a better start. You can't do the things that he did and not earn the respect of your peers. The team already liked him. They already wanted him. For a long time, the team has wanted Teddy Bridgewater to take the job. And then when he got it, they were happy that he got it. Mm-hmm. And then when he comes out and he plays like that in week one, are you kidding me? You think the guys aren't going to be excited? Look, Teddy's not going to play like that every week. There's no chance he's going to play like that every week. He can play stable football, though. And stable football for defensive guys like Vaughn, that'll be very encouraging because it'll feel like, hey, as long as he's stable over there, we do our job. We're going to have an opportunity to compete.
It feels like, oh, man. I don't know, man. It does feel different around there. I hate to overhype things in a positive way. James Merrillat would have my head if I was overhyping things in a positive way, but
I mean, I don't know
how you don't get caught up into it.
Well, yeah, I don't think you should. I think you'd be absolute fools to get caught up in the moment of a week one victory against the Giants. Like, hey, realize who we are. Realize who this team has been for a long, long time. I'm not saying, like, you shouldn't enjoy the moment. Hey, wins are hard to come by, and you should celebrate, and you should enjoy that for 24, 48 hours, and then you move on, and you realize that, hey, we play the Jags this week, and they could beat us. Like, we could lose to the Jags. And how are we going to feel after that?
To
get caught up in the moment, you can't ride the waves, man. You got to stay stable. So you enjoy the victory, or you just kind of you hurt and you feel the pain of a loss for 24, 48 hours, and then you move on. And it's like whatever happened previously, it doesn't mean anything because I'm terrified about my job this weekend.
Dude, I can't even imagine losing to the Jaguars right now. Seriously, it's like, well, on that kind of roll. I mean, I can't even imagine it.
They should not. Absolutely, the Broncos are a better football team. Absolutely, I have high expectations of the Broncos winning. Can I imagine them losing? Yeah, D-Mac, this team has done a lot of bad things for 4 or 5 years. Like, could we easily revert into bad habits? Sure.
Okay.
100% we could. So if guys in that locker room, I hope, like I get from your perspective, my perspective, feeling that way. But if guys in that locker room feel that way, they haven't earned the right to feel that way. No.
But for what it's worth, it's as positive as an energy out there, despite, Bradley Chubb not playing and having a little bit of a hiccup today, despite the injury to Jerry Jeudy, despite some of these other things. It's as positive as I've been around in quite a few years.
I love it. And rightfully so, man. Hey, you know, it was a great start.
Your year was actually fascinating, man. It wasn't always positive over there. It was Everything was on edge all the time in 2015.
It was.
Everything was like nerve-wracking.
It was a weird year. We weren't having success offensively. We were having red zone problems. We were staying after practice. We were doing extra walkthroughs. We were winning games, but yet there was also this just weird vibe that was going on. I mean, I could go into the depths of that season. It would take me a whole show to go into the full depths of it. But overall, even though there was that weird stuff going on, there was an insane amount of confidence that team, both offensively and defensively.
Awesome. Okay, listen, we have some key matchups to look at with the Jaguars. And one features a local product who we all love. The other, a guy making his first NFL start. We'll get to that next.
It's The Drive with Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Von Miller on Patrick Surtain.
He got it, man. You know, he really does got it. He carries himself, and he carries himself in a way that it's not too many things that you could give him advice about. You know, I just sit and watch him. He pretty much does, you know, everything right. He does everything how he's supposed to do. You know, he comes to work early. You know, he's fast. He's athletic. He can guard the number two receiver. You know, he can blitz. He can do, you know, whatever, you know, you want him to do.
Okay.
Hype man.
I love it. So let's talk matchups. Pat Surtain against LaVisca Chenault. Come on now, shoulder to shoulder. What do you see here?
You know, D-Mac, we do these. We've got a routine where we kind of go Wednesdays, I break down the offense, I break down the defense. Thursdays, we break down more specific key matchups. And this week, I'm looking at it, and I'm like, there are not a ton of real key matchups that I'm finding. I can come up with a few for sure, and one of them that is going to stand out is going to be Patrick Surtain, who's going to be facing off against former Buffalo Laviska Shenault. You know, will Patrick be on him the entire game? Probably not. I don't know. I'm not even sure who our team will identify as their number one wide receiver, because Marvin Jones is on a two-year, $14 million contract.
Yep.
He's definitely probably considered the number one wide receiver, but Laviska is targeted more often, or at least in week one he was, and it feels like, based off the type of offense that Urban Meyer wants to run, Laviska Shenault is like the perfect type of player that he's going to feature over the majority of the season. So you got to have a game plan for this dude. It'll be fun to watch Patrick Surtain go off against a very physical wide receiver. That's who Laviska is, man. You got to gang tackle him. You got to have two or three guys that are always trying to bring him down, because if you try to bring him down by yourself, he's likely to break through it. He's super physical. He likes to run through guys. And you got to know that you better bring the big boy pads this week.
Surtain already said on the touchdown that the blame was pinned on him, even by Coach Fangio, that he needed to be up on the receiver more. And he admitted he should have, and so did Fangio. So, okay, fine. I am curious, in your opinion, do you think with that experience, there may be a case that, watch out for Patrick Surtain being too aggressive as he gets his first start in the NFL?
Well, the main thing you can do to avoid that, if you're concerned about something like that, is play a lot of zone coverage. That's what we do the majority of the time anyways. Vic Fangio is definitely a heavy zone coverage type of guy. He doesn't call a ton of man coverage. We're not a super heavy blitz team. Mm-hmm. And you know, when you blitz heavy, you run more man coverage. So I don't think this week is really the week that you're going to want to blitz real heavy anyways, because Trevor Lawrence, that dude will expose you. If you blitz, like, he's smart enough to pick it up, and he's smart enough to beat you over the top. So inevitably, the easiest way to help out in a situation like that is just don't put him in man-to-man situations. Now, I'm not worried about Patrick Surtain in man-to-man. He's going to be just fine. He's going to have moments where he's going to get beat, just like Fuller did, just like Darby did. All corners will have moments where they get beat in man-to-man coverage. Sure, the long run, Surtain's going to be just fine playing man.
Texans played a lot of zone, right? And that did seem to confuse Trevor Lawrence, correct?
Yeah, they did. I mean, Trevor had his moments, though. He threw for over 300 yards. He had three touchdowns. He also had three interceptions. So it's a matter of what do you want to get and what do you want to give from Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, we'll see how quickly the learning process goes for Trevor Lawrence. Hopefully not that fast in his second start. All right, Netani Mutai, I'd be shocked if Glasgow goes. By the way, more stories about Glasgow with the heart stuff. I was so happy to see him out at practice. Not in pads. He was out for the entire stretch, but he was definitely not practicing today. But it feels more and more like Netani Mutai will get the start at guard. What do you like or not like about Mutai against the front of the Jags?
Well, I like, first off, I just like Netani a lot. I'm really curious what you know about Graham Glasgow. I guess I'll save that for after this segment, because I'm curious what stories you heard. Graham is definitely a better player, or at least a more complete player than Netani at this point, but Natani's more physical. And in the long run, Netani could be a full-time solution for you at right guard. So I like the fact that he's getting opportunity. I'm not at the expense of Graham Glasgow, but Netani is real top heavy. He's real strong with his punch, and if you beat him, you can beat him quick. What I like about it is that I don't see anybody that is going to be a mismatch for Netani. Like, he's going up against bigger boys that are not playing with speed. They're going to play with physicality, and I think that that's strength on strength for Netani. So I think it's a great opportunity for him to go out there, settle in, play big boy football, and he doesn't have to worry about getting out-athleted.
Yeah, I'll tell you what the information with Glasgow. Maybe we can find it. If not, we'll get it eventually. I can sum it up though. It was at Donatum, and he called Glasgow super heroic for getting through the game. It was Shermer that was talking about it. Oh, was it really? Oh, okay.
Yeah, Donatum would be on the other side, but
okay. All right, never mind. Sorry, my bad. And it's right here. See,
no worries.
I mean, thank God. Here we go. Shermer.
That's why we practice, D-Mac.
That's right. Here we go.
I became more aware of his situation after the game, you know, and then we were delayed, obviously, leaving, and I called him and texted him, and, you know, we're what he did was very, based on what we had heard was going on with him physically, what he did the other night was super heroic. I mean, he battled through it. I guess in the moment, we didn't know, you know, how big of an issue it was for him, but he's a tough sucker, and until he's back, we're going to miss him. You know, and we don't know when that'll be, but we're sure glad he's okay, and we just want to make sure he's right before we put him back out there, because what he did was super heroic, and I think that our team can learn from that.
I know that he means that as a compliment, but you got to love football coaches, man. You got to love them. I know what he means. Of course, he's saying, like, this dude is just tough. Right. Like we appreciate Graham, but heroic? Like, or maybe it was dumb. Like, maybe we shouldn't have been playing him. Like maybe he just shouldn't have been out there. He had a heart issue. I get it. He meant it as a compliment. I'm not crushing him, but you just got to laugh at football coaches, man. Heroic?
Tyler, I thought the same exact thing when he's talking about him, like, heroic.
Like, hey.
He's kind of borderline idiotic.
Right. Get him out of there.
I mean, okay, maybe your ankle hurts or something.
Exactly.
You have a heart issue?
Right.
Dude, get yourself out of the game. I mean, I know that Sherbert didn't mean it like that.
That's just the way the football coaches talk. Like,
right.
Hey.
But the funny part about that is, what's the message to the rest of the team? Hey, everybody, if you got a heart issue, you know, suck it up like Graham over here.
Just a minor heart attack. Don't worry about it.
Football coaches.
Not a big deal. It's not a big deal.
Look at that guy. He was willing to have a heart attack, and he's fine.
Hey, if you're not willing to shake off a heart attack, do you really love football?
Oh, man.
Do you? If you're not willing to shake that off, I don't know if you love football.
I'm glad you have the same perspective I did, because after he said that, I kind of turned around to a couple people like, what did he just say?
Right.
And again, I know he was trying to, same thing. Same,
yeah, no, I mean, he was just using football lingo. It's just funny when you
football.
Think about it like that.
All right. Why Urban Meyer is going to fail mightily, not only this week, but in general. And you'll hear one of his former college players on the Broncos badmouth him. I'll kill you with truth next.
I'm just an old truth teller.
It's time for D-Mac to kill you with truth.
I want the truth.
Tell the truth.
And the truth shall set you free.
Here on The Drive.
Well, what a bizarre moment with Draymond Jones today when he was asked about his former college coach, Urban Meyer, who's the head coach of the Jaguars. And Draymond was asked, what's your favorite memory? Kind of a softball type of question.
My favorite memory from playing with Urban is back in, like, 2016 when we beat Michigan in the, like, last game, the last five for the playoffs. And then, like, the next, like, month, we got our butt whipped by Clemson. But, yeah.
Little dig. And then he was asked, are you surprised Meyer's not clicking with the vets in Jacksonville?
Am I surprised by it? No.
Why?
Why? I just know how he is. I'm not about to go into great detail about it, but, like, you know, it doesn't surprise me.
Wow! Just throw another log on the Urban Meyer burning fire from, you know, PR Gate, which actually was probably a lot about nothing. But what the heck is going on with Urban Meyer in Jacksonville? And I think the truth is, these college coaches, they are so used to their own little fiefdoms that it is a brutal adjustment to the NFL where they have to be accountable for all sorts of other things. You know, one of the complaints that Draymond Jones had about Urban Meyer is that he just didn't treat people well. If you weren't one of his guys, he more or less ignored you. Even though Draymond Jones obviously was a good enough player to make it in the NFL, but a lot of guys are like that at Ohio State. It just goes to show that college coaches really are the kings of their castle and don't get challenged, and it creates a bizarre narcissism that they seemingly can't shake. And I just don't think that translates in the NFL, where you've got to treat your players like men, not like boys. And I think that is the hardest problem for these college guys. And my prediction for Urban Meyer is utter failure in the NFL until he inevitably gets some sort of, you know, big-time $9 million a year offer or more to go back to college. So likely the tenure of Urban Meyer in Jacksonville is limited. And his connection this week, that's limited too. The Broncos will roll. Meyer will be gone sooner than later. And that's the truth, Tyler.
All right. Wow. I mean, yeah, that was a surprising response from Draymond Jones. I mean, it's not hard to fake something. He didn't even have the desire to fake it. He didn't have the desire to come up with some sort of lie about his favorite memories. No, I'm not surprised because I know how he treats people is more or less what he's saying. You know, I think everybody's writing off Urban Meyer really, really quickly. And I get it. It's been a hot mess and he's done a lot of dumb things already. But the dude knows how to play football. The dude knows how to coach football. And does he know how to manage NFL players? Not yet. No, not yet. Clearly, he's failing at that. But if he can adapt and if he can learn how to manage grown-ups, grown human beings, then he will succeed because he knows how to coach football. Like, the X's and O's, they're not that different from college to the NFL. It's just how do you handle the people? You're dealing with 18-year-olds versus millionaires, mm-hmm. right? And there's a huge difference there. So I don't think that Urban Meyer is destined for failure, but he is destined for failure unless he learns how to adapt. Like Josh McDaniels. Josh was a brilliant X's and O's mind. I mean, it pains me to even say anything nice about Josh McDaniels, but everybody knew that Josh knew football. Like you saw him in front of the team. He got up there on the whiteboard and he would draw things up and he would explain things that you'd be like, oh, I never knew why that makes sense, but now that makes sense. Like you're pointing things out that we all should have understood, but we never did. You do know football. You just didn't know how to manage people. And if Josh could have figured out how to manage people, he might not have even had to ever been fired. Like he could have even succeeded in his first go around. It's all about how stubborn are you as a human being. Unfortunately, most human beings are too stubborn. And so unfortunately for Urban Meyer, he's probably going to go down the same route that you're predicting because human beings have a difficult time adapting as quickly as they need to.
Yeah, and these college coaches, I don't know. Somebody on the text line, I mean, I know they're being facetious, but it's a lot harder for Urban to cheat in the NFL versus college. Well, I get it. You're kind of joking. But let's face it, especially college coaches, Tyler, at a certain level, I get it. They have to recruit and all that. But, I mean, you have to recruit at Ohio State. You've got some advantages there, period. And the degree that you really have to beat the bushes, you're really only competing with, you know, three or four other schools, and that's tricky. You got to beat out Alabama for these guys, stuff like that. But I mean, come on, man. Urban Meyer on the recruitment trail, it's just like a magic carpet for him. It's not hard. It's not difficult to do. And they're spoiled. I just think those kind of coaches are just spoiled. And the NFL, I think, is the real world. Believe it or not, I'll give some props to Vic Fangio on this one. That dude is a pro coach. Whether he should be the head coach, I don't know. But that all this dude has done is be a pro coach. All Vic Fangio has done, Tyler, is coach grown men his entire life.
Yeah.
So he knows how
to do that. But to counter that point, that doesn't make Vic a good football coach, right? So
it doesn't make him a good head coach necessarily.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah. So, I mean, the mere fact that Urban Meyer doesn't know how to manage human beings just yet, that doesn't mean that he's going to fail. Yeah. Like, he will fail unless he figures that out. Because guess what? It didn't work for Josh McDaniels at 32 years old to be dog-cussing Casey Wigman, who's older than him, playing on the offensive line. Like, that didn't work. Like, you have to figure out a different way to treat people. But if he figures it out, I have no doubt that Urban Meyer is a good football coach and he can succeed at the NFL.
All right. Frank Caliendo is on with Mike and Mark. He was brilliant and he has a great piece of audio. It's the cat falling video. The cat was fine. The cat was okay. He did a classic interpretation of it. We'll hear that. Scoreboard proposals are bad, but there's other things you can do on the scoreboard which are absolutely fantastic. And was Ed Donatell fibbing about Justin Simmons? Plus, Troy Rank, he'll put his point of view on what he saw out of Bradley Chubb and Cortland Sutton out of practice today. All coming up right here on Sports Radio, 104.3 The Fan.
It's The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Styx.
There you go. Knocking it out of the park.
Yeah. Crushed it.
The Mike and Mark had...
Did I really get that?
No.
Yeah, no.
Not even close.
For a second, I thought I did. Yeah.
No.
Oh, it's not Metallica?
You want to just throw out a bunch of other 80s bands names that
Well, I mean, I thought two. If I had two guesses, I thought surely I'd get it.
Oh, what was your second guess? Sorry,
Metallica. Yeah.
No, but Metallica's got a new album, Blacklist, where pop stars like Miley Cyrus cover Metallica songs from the Black Album.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
Does that interest you? Does that interest you or not?
I do like Metallica, so sure, it intrigues me.
You interested to hear Miley Cyrus's version of Nothing Else Matters?
Miley Cyrus is...
No, you don't?
She's an interesting one.
Dude,
she's
I've heard
it. She's a real
it.
Interesting one.
She sounds just like Stevie Nicks these days.
Okay. What does that mean?
Super nasally, super... Matters. I mean, yeah, she sounds like a... I mean, better than that, but not much.
Okay. Well, are you going to tell me who the band was or no?
Oh, Dire Straits.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I mean, I was dying to know.
Mark Knopfler, the guitar player. MTV song.
Huh? MTV that was song? The, that was the name of the song?
Well, I mean, it's Money for Nothing, but it's commonly, you know, I want my MTV. It's like the MTV.
Got song. It.
Anyways. Yeah, people are... I actually do think one of the funniest parts of the Stokely show, I'm not going to lie, is Stokely on purpose screwing up band names.
No, he doesn't do that on purpose. He doesn't do that on purpose at all. I mean, he just doesn't know, and then he plays it off. Like, he just acts like he's playing a game.
It's like, oh, I get it. It's a grunge song, so I'll just say Soundgarden, or right. I'll just say, right. You know, Pearl Jam.
Exactly. It
likely isn't. But, you know, I'll throw it out there. He did one the other day. He was like, oh, Survivor. That's awesome. And it was, I don't know what it was. It was something else. It was great. All right. You want to hear the cat call? That's where I was going. Mike and Mark had Frank Caliendo on. He's playing at the Belco Theater next weekend. That sounds like a fun show with David Spade and some dude I've never heard before. And he did play-by-play of Pat Summerall and John Madden with the cat that was clinging by a string at that Miami game.
Yeah.
Play by play of it. Do you think people actually know who John Madden and Pat Summerall are in terms of play by play, or do you think that is like too old? Like people don't get that anymore.
No, people definitely know who John Madden is, and I do think that the majority of people know
Pat Summerall.
Yeah,
you think so?
I mean, it's a little bit different audience. Like John Madden's a more general audience.
Yeah,
Pat's more specific to like if you were. Interested in broadcasting, if you're interested in that era of football, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they were it. They were it, but I mean, it's a long time ago. Anyways, here's Cat hanging by a string.
Pat, you see that up there?
Sure do.
I mean, what do you think that is?
Looks like a cat.
What do you think he's doing up there, Pat? I mean, usually a cat isn't hanging from a roof like that.
Like a cat on a hot tin roof.
That's how I'm feeling right now, Pat.
Dangling, spinning.
You ever see one of those Cirque du Soleil shows, Pat? I mean, this looks a lot like one of those right now, except it's a cat.
He's falling to the five. They caught him.
This is unreal, Pat.
He's holding him up like Simba, the Lion King.
Mama Kitty Baba. How many lives do you think this cat's got left, Pat?
What do you mean?
I feel like he's used a bunch of them up already if he's doing stuff like this.
The cat was fine.
How do we know that? How do we know that the cat was fine, by the way?
Because we saw him. He was fine.
All I heard was the crowd erupt, but I know, like, we know the cat was fine.
No, the guy actually did hold him up like Simba and Lion King.
Oh, okay.
And the cat actually wiggled out of it. So I don't know how emotionally the cat is. By the way, it's another revelation. That these stadiums just have, you know, cats
right
screaming around. Richie told me a terrifying story.
They're mice control.
Yeah.
Like they're grounds crew.
So Richie may have to come over because I don't know where Richie was getting this information from. But Richie earlier today said that when Disney World shuts down, they release a ton of cats to pick up all the mice that are trying to eat all the garbage. Like they literally have cats running after Mickey. In Disneyland?
Running after Mickey? Easy.
Well, Mickey's a mouse, isn't he?
I see what
Minnie?
You did there. Yeah.
Richie, where'd you get that from?
So there's a few different spots that I read it online, and I did kind of fact check it. And there's plenty of, and they even have placards of it, I believe, in the park. I'm seeing pictures of it. It's just their way of natural pest control. And they're obviously hidden and contained during the day when there's people in the park. But at night, they let them out, and they make sure that... all of their, there's not a mice problem or anything like that. They just kind of take care of it. It's like this natural pest control.
Hold on. So logically, there have to be cat wranglers that work at Disney.
Right, because you got to get the cats back.
Somehow, right?
Yeah, exactly.
This article that I'm reading here says that,
you got to bait them.
They release anywhere up to 200 cats.
Come on!
Wow. Impressive.
So
now I am very curious how you get the cats back. I am curious about that.
Yeah.
Now you got to bait them somehow. Like you got to put out some food. You got to put out, I don't know, somehow you're getting them back. Or you just don't get them back. Like I know like the cat at Coors Field, like that cat just lives there.
And right.
Intentionally right. With it for the exact same purpose of being mice control. Like that's why that cat is there.
For the record, they don't get them all back. They sometimes there are just cats. they just sleep during the day, just like around the park. So it's not unusual for you to see one.
Do we find any irony that we just have cats slaughtering the symbol of Disney World when the lights go out?
Those mice are ugly, though. Like, Mickey's cute.
This is like
super cute.
This is like the Quentin Tarantino Disney movie cartoon. Troy's ready. Okay, we'll get to the scoreboard thing in a second. But first, let's go to our guy, Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Broncos insider, courtesy of
ROX Rocks Heating and Air.
Okay, Troy, you were standing right next to me. Describe what you saw with Bradley Chubb today.
Yeah, he sat down to do this team stretch right by us, and then went through briefly part of that. And then as they got up to do a light jog, as they do as part of their team stretch, he put Pill even underneath his shoe and get on the outside of the shoe. The easiest way to describe it, and I watched, he jogged slowly back over to when they break down the huddle and then went over for individual drills and did a little bit of that at very light speed. The easiest way to describe it, I know Tyler was asking, he just doesn't look comfortable. And I thought he looked more uncomfortable today than he did at any point last week. Now, again, might be the tape job, might be whatever, cramp in this ankle, I don't know, but I didn't walk away from today feeling very optimistic he's going to play on Sunday, just based on what my eyes are telling me.
Well, the other one is Cortland Sutton. There was some video making the rounds that during practice he just didn't quite look like he was running like his normal self, and I'm curious what you see from Cortland Sutton. Does he look healthy out there?
Well, I think you know this guy who's played the game and you've been in that arena specifically. Coming off surgery, he's now a full calendar year removed from ACL, but he played a lot in the first game. And he looked like a guy that was sore, and he's coming off ACL, and he hadn't been pushed like that all of camp. There were days in camp, and we've talked about that on the show, that he looked like he was dragging his leg around a little bit. He wasn't cutting, didn't have that burst. And then when I saw him against the Rams, I'm like, okay, when he needs to turn it on, the adrenaline's going to help. And then the next couple days after practice, what I saw this week, and certainly yesterday, is just that he's just not 100% yet. Doesn't mean he can't be effective in the game, but I do think we have to temper our expectations and not expect, okay, Judy's out, Cortland's going to get 10 targets, 9 catches, 120 yards. I don't think that's fair to him.
Hey, were you were you surprised he was named a captain?
That Cortland was?
Yeah.
No, because behind the scenes, he's considered one of the hardest workers on the team, both in before he was hurt and his example he set in rehab, the way he was a leader among those guys. So, no, I mean, again, it's harder now because we're not in the locker room. We haven't been in the locker room now for 2 seasons. So a lot of those dynamics you see as a reporter, you'd be like, man, that does surprise me based on interactions you observe with guys and how they – it's just like people used to ask me, why was DT a captain? I'll be like, well, guys in there, you could tell the respect they had from him. It was clear. He wasn't, it was one of the EF Hutton. When he talks, guys would listen. But you would see that visible respect for him in the locker room. Cortland, we haven't been in there. So I'm not surprised just because of his work ethic. Again, I'm still surprised that an offensive lineman, whether it was Glasgow, maybe Bowles. I mean, Bowles still has a way to go for me in that regard. But, a guy like Glasgow, I would have had an offensive lineman as a captain, but players didn't vote it that way, apparently.
All right. Any other news and notes? What else struck you from today?
Well, again, Draymond Jones is not going to be the president of the Urban Meyer fan club any day. Mm-hmm. They're not going to be sending Christmas cards. You were asking, D-Mac, if you go back and listen to the podcast he was on with Shelby Harris, and I had Draymond on even before that, and he wasn't really complimentary. He was really neutral toward Urban Meyer when I had him on. But on Shelby Harris's case, he indicated that he did not have a good relationship with him that, you know, there were times that Urban Meyer would walk past him. This is Draymond saying this. Walk past him in the hall. He'd say, hi, coach. He'd walk right by him, wouldn't say anything. And there was a conversation he had about a family member. And then, like, Urban just left mid-sentence and walked away. And he just left Draymond clearly with a bad taste in his mouth. And I've heard that from some Ohio State guys, that if you're one of his guys, like Bradley Roby loved Urban Meyer. If you're one of his guys, you love him. But it seems to be there's a line of demarcation. If you're not one of his guys, it wasn't necessarily the greatest experience. But I was a little surprised he was blunt about it. It's clear he's not surprised that he's struggling to coach pros. We'll see. We'll see. But that did surprise me a little bit, even though I knew some of the box study.
All right, good stuff. Thank you, Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Broncos insider, courtesy.
Navarro X, Rocks, Heating and Air.
Mark Torgrove is a pal of mine. Proud CU Buffalo.
Go Buffs.
A Hollywood producer and writer. That's Mark. He sent me this little nugget. Disneyland used to have a ton of feral cats to control the rats. One time, I feel like we should have the Disney theme music here. But one time, there was a complaint, and they decided to get rid of the cats and use rat poison. The next day, the water surrounding Tom Sawyer's Island was filled with floating dead rats.
Is this fact checked here? This sounds like an urban legend. I like this legend, but are we sure?
The cats were immediately rehired at union rates. Bada bing, bada boom. It's KKFN and KKFN HD1, Longmont, Denver. It's just before 5 o'clock, but we'll take it. One way or the other, we'll take it. We'll take KKFN and KKFN HD1.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.